Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch. We have Matt Schwartzler back, and we are going to talk the much slimmer North Star Athletic Association. Before we get into it, we just have to acknowledge, RIP presentation and RIP Iowa Wesleyan. I really did have hopes for presentation. After they come over and win, I think either our inaugural or our second helmet wars on NAIAF Ball. I'm thinking, okay, maybe they can get it put together, but unfortunately, just wasn't to be. I think financial issues got the both of them.
Yeah, financial issues. I can speak more closely to presentation because obviously I went to school 2 hours from there. And Dakota Wesleyan is absorbing like most of their nursing students, which is kind of cool, but also the fact that you see a college going under that's providing scholarships and educations to student athletes is never a good thing. It's always a bummer. And honestly, even with presentation's track record, like, it was fun having them around. And there was a lot of good things going on in that program. Iowa Wesleyan, can't speak into that situation all that much. I didn't know much about them, but it was the birthplace of the air raid, obviously, with Mike Leach unfortunately passing recently. And Iowa Wesleyan, it's kind of a kick in the pants if you are in the realm of college football history. Yeah, right there.
Now, what this does to the North Star is it puts it in a tough position, to say the least. The NAIA home office is probably not going to look very fondly on a conference that's going to field 5 football teams. That would generally put you below the level for an auto bid. I'm sure they're going to give them a grace year to get someone else in. But here's one of your big problems. Because of the fact that you've got a couple of schools in the North Star that aren't out-and-out Christian colleges, and actually a couple of them that are actually public schools, public institutions, the GPAC is not a fit. GPAC says you have to be Christian, which, good on the GPAC for making sure that their standards are kept up. But, man, that's a gnarly little – that would have been a great fit for the North Star in an alternate universe.
Well, totally. And you already have the crossover of the paint bucket game of the Ag Bowl with Dakota Wesleyan and Dakota State. And D-Dub, in years past, we played presentation and Dakota State, like before Mount Morty joined the conference. That's already 2 crossovers right there. It makes the most sense. And obviously with the GPAC keeping their rules intact, which is fine, I still think, given the situation, there wouldn't be anything wrong with absorbing them. And it makes the most sense because you go out west, you have the Frontier, who is way too far away. You have the Sooner, who is completely focused in other regions of the country. The only way that this works out is if they move down to D3 or up to D2 in the RMAC. And I just don't know if that even makes sense for them. Like, it's really just like, you have to shrug your shoulders at this entire situation because they're in trouble, I think, putting it lightly.
There is one other possibility, and it's you have to convince one of Bellevue or Viterbo to create a football team. Bellevue's in Nebraska. They play all the other sports. Same thing with Viterbo. Viterbo, I don't know. They play other sports. I'm a football guy. They play basketball. They play baseball. You're going to have to convince one of them to do it, or you're going to have to convince one of the D3 schools to move that plays football to move up. It's a similar situation with what we were saying about the Mid-States Midwest last week. You're going to have to find a way because you're getting dangerously close. And in the case of North Star, you're over the line. You've got to find some sort of answer. And I think when we chat with the home office a little later on this summer, that's something that I want to ask is how do they plan on dealing with situations like this? Because it's, you know, we're not gaining colleges in this country. We're dropping them like flies. So it's got to be something they know about.
Yeah, and I think even D3 for them, that's, it makes the most sense, but who's even in the area for D3? Like, the Midwest is the heart and soul of, like, NAIA D2 football.
Yeah.
You know? Isn't maybe, like, a Buena Vista or somebody? Like, I don't even know who you'd consider for that.
I know one thing, though. I would not want to be the North Star commissioner right now trying to figure out what you're going to do. I mean, my gosh, my stomach would be in knots.
Yeah. It'll be curious to see what they can pull out, but it's pretty bleak. But I think there's scenarios where they can get out of this situation and be okay. A lot of them, I think, tie with the RMAC in Division II football, though, which I think for a lot of these teams is not a good scenario. But I don't know. It's all hypotheticals at this point, so we can only speak on what we know, truthfully.
Yeah, and honestly, all we know for sure is that things can't stay as they are.
Yes, correct.
There's going to have to be some move, some change, some way, somehow. But with that being said, let's preview who we've got, and then at the end we'll talk about how losing presentation, losing Iowa Wesleyan affects them as a conference in terms of their standing within the NAIA. And it's kind of surprising how it affects them in this situation. But starting at the bottom, it's going to be the Mayville State Comets. You know, as always, thanks to Mayville State. They have one of the two stickers on my laptop. Love getting that M there. Hey, I love putting stickers on my laptop. My wife, maybe not so much.
I agree.
But I love the stickers for the laptop. A 3-8 season for Mayville State. Now an 0-4 in the North Star, but Mayville State showing some signs of life over here.
Yeah, and I mean, their offense was really high-powered last year, and especially with Tim Salmon, Javion Davidson, and Chance Danner all coming back as first team guys. Like, that's fantastic news for them.
Yeah, and I mean,
unfortunately, you do also lose Reese Smith, who was a key piece of your offense, but you got a lot of those guys coming back on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got your leading running back is Mason Allman, who's returning for you. But man, we didn't know if Mayville could be turned around, but getting some guys in play there for the Comets and having those coaches staying and working with them, it's starting to show a little bit of progress there for them, and I love to see it there on for the Comets.
I was going to say, I think defensively, too, they also have a lot of guys coming back. They have a lot of leaders on that side of the ball for them. Defensively, they were not good, to put it lightly. But as I always talk about in these episodes, there's something to be said for bringing familiarity back, which is what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely something that they're building on. They return most of their defense, including basically all their linebackers and all their defensive backs. And that's a good portion of your defense right there. And if you can return that sort of production, I think you're going to be all right there. Now, the next team, in order to not turn Matt into the Hulk here, we're going to have to cover quickly. That's going to be Dakota State. Dakota State 6-4, 4-2 in the North Star. 57th in SP Plus. And for those who are not who are on the podcast version, Matt is just holding up his Dakota Wesleyan decal there. Or no, is it a decal? Or
it's like a table,
a tabletop, okay,
decoration thing. Yeah,
a paperweight. Nice. A pretty good season last year for Dakota State. 97th offense, so not great on that side of the ball, but the 14th ranked defense, which, you know, unfortunately, when you play Dakota Wesleyan, who has the same thing only reversed, that's the stoppable force versus the movable object on one end. And, yeah.
It was kind of that vibe last year in that game. And I will give Dakota State credit. They have a very good defense year in and year out. But this is the year, Corey. This is the year. This is it. This is the year it all flips around for them.
Well, Dakota State does have Ty Sortman coming back, 485 yards of rushing, and a lot of defensive pieces coming back. Devontae Murphy, 56 tackles. Jay Skogrebo with 38 tackles and 6 pass breakups. J.J. Beckett, linebacker, the first-teamer, with 101 tackles last year. But you do lose a couple pieces, including your first-team punter and your second-team kicker there, along with Cody Brown, who just was very nice with 16.5 tackles for loss, 9 sacks. Max Sauna also with 41 tackles, 5 of those for loss. There's a lot good coming back here for Dakota State, and you return most of your squad on both sides. Zach Brooks at quarterback. We've already mentioned Ortman at running back. Dyshawn Keel at wide receiver. And then you return most of everyone at every level of your defense, whether it be defensive line, linebacker, and all of your defensive backs. This could be a year that you see Dakota State challenge again, as they were tied for second in the North Star after winning their last 3 ball games in the conference. You could see them challenging and really trying to break into that best of the rest in the North Star.
Good for them.
That's all I got to say about that.
if I don't need to speak, because not everything needs a reaction. That's what I've learned.
Next up, Waldorf, the Warriors out of Forest City, Iowa, 7-4, 3-3 in the North Star. This is the middle of a run here where you've got 3 teams in the 50s here for you in the North Star. Waldorf kind of slips back a little bit last year. They have a new head coach, Chase Paramore, promoted from the offensive coordinator position, in which they had a good year by the raw metrics, 5.21 yards per play offensively. Unfortunately, when you're looking at it on a per play, and or not a per play, on a opponent adjusted and pace adjusted and all that adjustment metrics, it just, unfortunately for them, just doesn't come out for them.
Yeah, I think even with that being said, though, this was a very competitive Waldorf squad. This is one of those teams that statistically and metrics don't always favor them, but they're always in the fight. They're kind of one of those, you know, they're always in it type of teams. And the past couple of years for them have been pretty impressive. They've obviously had a winning record last year, being competitive in the conference. So for the Warriors returning, they have offensive line Logan Miller coming back. And this back half of the players that are leaving, that's a pretty extensive list. And I've studied all of these players in these show notes extensively. We definitely have not had to reshoot this portion of the show like 3 times, because why would we ever do that? We're super prepared. Obviously, Sam Huntley, wide receiver, big production guy on the offensive side of the ball not coming back. You're losing a couple of linemen and Kane Cluster Hodak. That's a name. Wow.
It's a great name.
And Zachary Thorne and D lineman Dequan McCobb and defensive backs McCoy Yakeel and Tyler Dennis also not returning for them. That's a lot of spots to fill, Corey.
It really is. What they're telling me is that they've added significant depth that they're on their defensive line and at linebacker. Should be a young but talented spot for them, as you know, they're returning a minority of their defense. There are a lot of spots to fill. They have a lot of guys that from what they report, either they just didn't get a lot of playing time last year or they were academically ineligible, such as receiver and defensive line. They're going to have a lot of different players available this year, and they are saying that spring ball was very competitive for them. So even though you return, you know, just a majority of your offense, quarterback Jordan Cooper, running back Kiwione Young, and basically no wide receiver that had enough stats to sniff at, and a minority of your defense there, they're pretty happy with where they're at, which, honestly, with where they've been kind of in the conference, kind of in that vying with Valley City State for that second position, I think they kind of have an idea of where they need to be. Now, the question is, of those teams, and we'll talk about this after we get through with Valley City, but, you know, really the race, I think, might be just for number two, but who knows? But we will take a look at that after a quick break here with a word from our friends at AdCraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business. That's exciting, but where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? AdCraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact AdCraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
That is absolutely what they do to the business, and so glad to have them partnering with us. All right, and next up on our tour of the North Star is going to be Valley City State Vikings. One of the things that I love about the top portion of the North Star, whether it be Valley City or Dickinson State, is that both of their coaches have been there for 25 plus years. You don't see that often in the NAIA, having those long tenured head coaches.
For sure. And it's really impressive too, because both those programs obviously have histories and are in different phases of their programs, but they're still both very impressive. Which I think is a testament to that stable coaching and that being around for them.
And of course, Valley City State alongside Jamestown will open up the season like less than a month from taping this. Now, obviously, it's going to be like August 1st by the time that y'all are hearing and watching this. We're taping this late July. But that first game, the paint bucket game, is Thursday, August 24th. And you better be glad that that game isn't happening in Florida or your cleats would be melting to the field. But I do love the paint bucket game. It's
electric.
Oh, I love it. It's like when I was a kid and they play the Hall of Fame game in mid-July and you're like, neither of these teams are prepared at all to play a game of football. But by Jove, it's football.
Yep.
Both these teams will be prepared to play a game of football, yes. I imagine. But it is still football. Valley City, man, they missed their quarterback that graduated in 2021, honestly. Noah Chambers does come back for them at quarterback, but he had big shoes to fill, And unfortunately, the Valley City offense, just again, not favored by the metrics at all.
Yeah, not remotely. That offense was very bad. But their defense was extremely impressive, and they do have kind of the heart and soul of that defense coming back. Riley Gerhardt, who I feel like we talked a lot about last season.
We did.
Just with stats and the performances he had, very impressive with 109 tackles, 19.5. Is that tackles for loss?
Yes.
I mean, goodness gracious, that dude was a monster all year long. But also on the offensive side of the ball, like I said, having familiar faces is always helpful. They do have Justice Bice coming back, Sammy Trejo, Troy Deitz, and Jaheed West, their linebacker, is also coming back. So good stuff for them.
Justice Bice, gotta call it out when I see it. The Crestview, Florida native, which is about halfway between Panama City and Pensacola, down in the Redneck Riviera, up there. That boy's probably freezing his tushy off running the football. But hey, first team All North Star, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, they just return so much on offense. It's crazy. You know, including wide receiver Ferris Amekempo, and I am going to take the hit on that one. I didn't want Matt to butcher it too badly, so instead I will butcher it terribly.
Ferris, I appreciate that. You're always looking out for me, Corey. Thank you.
Ferris, we're sorry. but you're basically returning your entire offense now. Unfortunately, I don't have a read on their other offensive linemen, but I know they're returning at least two, and Sammy Trejo and Troy Deitz. And then a majority of a defense that was really good a year ago. This might be a good year for Valley City.
I think it will be. I think they're going to surprise some people. Hint.
Well, now we come to the reigning champions of the NSAA for the last, feels like the last 217 years. And that's going to be the Dickinson State Bluehawks. 8-3, 6-0 in the North Star, dropped out of the rankings there, the NAIA. They're early after a couple of losses early, but of course, as we always say, just wait for the North Star. They'll be back. And they ended up having some decent metrics. 5.29 yards per play offensively, good for 39th, and 3.65 yards per play given up on defense, good for 27th. That's that'll do, and that's good for 22nd in SP Plus. That's last week we looked at St. Xavier, who was in the 30s in SP Plus as the top ranked team in their conference or division. We're going up with Dickinson State there.
For sure, and I feel like this is a Dickinson State team that gets dismissed in the national picture all the time because they do play in the North Star. Last year was a team that was able to rebound and put it together, and I think the metrics and stats actually show that and are in their favor for once. Because a lot of the time with the North Star, you talk about how, the conference is so weak and now they're going through all these troubles, but I mean, there's something to be said for a team that can consistently win and get to the playoffs and put up good numbers. And I think they definitely backed it up last year, and they definitely have the capability to do it again. They do have a lot returning for them, a lot of production. They have wide receiver Noah Sickler coming back, tight end Galen Brantley, a couple of O-linemen and Brandon Bennick and Nathaniel Woodruff, excuse me, D-lineman Jaquan Booth, Matt Anderson, Keaton Metschke, defensive back Jaden Hartwell, and kicker, love us some returning kickers, Wade James.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest thing, though, is going to be replacing Aaron White and honestly, Riley Linder and Isaiah Clute as well. Those were three big names. Aaron White went for 2,200 yards and was almost a 60% passer. Linder rushed for 612 yards. Clute, I feel, was really nice in the running game. Didn't get as involved in the passing game. Connor Carville there also with 664 yards. Defensively, though, you're going to miss Crew Mathern. 52 tackles, 18.5 for loss, 10.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. That's who you want at your defensive line, just causing trouble. Dawson McLaughlin with 7 picks, that's gone. Javonte Oliphant with 7 pass breakups. Man, yeah. The cupboard looks a little bit bare for Dickinson State. Do not be deceived. The cupboard is not bare. There is somebody, somewhere, that is waiting to take the reins at Dickinson State, and folks over there are well aware of what they need to do to meet the challenge.
Totally. They have their system. They build their guys up, and I feel like every offseason it's the conversation of, well, they're not returning anybody. Well, they don't care. They have somebody ready to go anyways that you've never heard of before.
Right.
Just fine.
Exactly. They're going to be fine. Now, let's take a look at the thing that's going to make a lot of people even more annoyed, because that's what we do. We annoy people. We are doing conference strength here throughout the offseason. And look who sticks in at totally, definitely not the worst at average SP plus that we've got on our map. That's going to be the North Star coming in at 9th in average SP plus. Now, this being said, if you look at the two teams that they're losing, and I hate to use the words addition by subtraction, but in terms of average SP plus, that is precisely what it is. Presentation was sitting down at 90th, and Iowa Wesleyan, if I can get it to come up and stay going there, is sitting at 82nd. So you've got two teams that would have definitely dragged down your average SP plus there. Start recording first. And also, if you look at their standard deviation, they are the top team now in standard deviation with 20.308. In terms of being right there all together, they take the top spot in terms of being close together as a whole. Now, what does that do to their overall? Well, that slots them in tied for third. And we know good and well that if we'd had presentation and if we'd had Iowa Wesleyan in there, I actually looked at it, they would be a true fifth or tied with the Hart South at 5.5. They're at 6. They would be actually tied for fifth at that point. So that being said, I feel like we need to put some respect on the NSAA's name.
All 5 of them.
All 5 of them. They are few,
yes,
but they are a tough little conference to have to deal with, and we'll see how that keeps up. We have 2 more conferences to go before we proclaim a champion, but I think it's going to be hard to knock off the Mid-South there at number 1.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Now, let's get to the fun part, our picks. And Matt, I'm going to let you go first this week. Who is your winner?
Well, all right, so I heard we had to talk about the North Star, which meant I had to talk about Dak State, which got me in a bad mood. So I took out that energy on my winner pick. I am not picking Dickinson State. Show me the Valley City State Vikings.
Going with VCSU. That is
The streak is dead. Nothing makes sense. And I am picking the Vikings because I like their program. I have been following them since I got to college football and found out they existed when I joined the NAIA and joined Dakota Wesleyan. They're a fun little program, and I have some friends that went there. I know some of their coaches. Like, I think very highly of them. The roster they have coming back is very good, and they have a lot of guys who know what's going on. And because of that, I think even with Dickinson State, with all the moving parts they have, they reload. I am fully aware of this. But I think Valley, if there's a year that one of these two, you know, top best of the rest teams is going to have a shot, it's going to be Valley City State, and it's going to be this year, and it's going to be them because their roster is so put together and so good and so experienced as a group.
Now who are you then taking for your dark horse?
Give me Mayville State. I loved what they did on the offensive side of the ball last year, how they were able to air it out. They have enough guys coming back on defense. And I think just with the size of the conference and how things turned out, like, people really aren't looking at them. Even last year, people weren't really looking at them. And they surprised some people. They won three games at a conference. They put up good numbers. They have their quarterback and receivers coming back. Like, it's a good time to be a Comet.
Well, John is going to lead us back into sanity a little bit. He's going to take Dickinson State. Going to ride the train while the Blue Hawks are driving it. But his dark horse pick, there might be something there to Valley City State. Now, for me, I too am going to ride with Dickinson State, but I'm not going to take one of the traditional best of the rests here. I'm going to sit here and make Matt Schwartzler mad. I am taking his hated rival, Dakota State.
You're getting a double thumbs down from my thumbs down and the tattoo of a thumb that I have on my arm. How does that make you feel?
It makes you feel like your tattoo is pointing a little to the side, but you know,
I can angle it. It can work.
You've got most of your roster coming back on offense and a defense that was really good last year. Give me Dakota State to solidify that spot as best of the rest, and to make something of themselves. First test, obviously, is going to be Saturday, I believe the 26th of August, as they take on the Dakota Wesleyan Tigers. Now, in that game, I would love to see if, we see the kind of slanted in Dakota State. I'd love to see a battle of like the rushing in Dakota State logo versus the new faux back look for Dakota Wesleyan. I feel like that would be a really nice look for both squads here.
Agreed. I need those helmets to be the main helmets. Ross Simple, if you are listening, please. I am begging you, make the throwbacks the new made helmets. They look so good.
They do look good. But we've got good news. You know what else looks good is having a new partner that we are happy to announce, proud to announce, Telemetry Sports coming on board and partnering with us. Telemetry Sports is a trusted sports data tech provider to over 30 NFL, NCAA, and NAI football programs. They're fully customizable. They have different modules that you can choose from for your squad to make your package unique to each organization. That can be yours. It's recruiting. It's film work. It's your broadcast booth for you SIDs out there that want to have miles per hour stats. Dude, Telemetry Sports does some great, great work with taking your broadcast to the next level. Telemetry works with you and your team to streamline your current process. Look, NAI squads have people wearing a ton of hats. Let Telemetry help you streamline that and take back a little bit of your time. It's going to make you more efficient. It's going to let you focus more on the coaching aspect of this, and that's worth its weight in gold right there. Now, for the duration of this season, at least, hopefully we'll keep going past it, but Telemetry Sports is going to be using their computer vision technology, that miles per hour, watching the great plays as they happen, to track verified speed and acceleration data in partnership with NAIAF Ball. Looking forward to it. It's something that we wanted to look in the sports data realm for a partner. A lot of great stuff happening there with AI and machine learning, and the ability to see that stuff. Telemetry Sports coming alongside us here this season to show the best plays this season and how they happen. And we love our sponsors, both Telemetry and AdCraft, but man, we also love our patrons. They do it day in, day out. They're the ones that make our, basically, they are the ones that keep us going day to day, month to month. If you want to join us in supporting NAI football and promoting this league, you know, there are other folks doing it. We are the biggest. We do our best to do it as best we can for the kids. Join us, NAI, patreon.com/NAIFball. Dollar a month is all we ask. And you can join our list of DSU Cone, Darren, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vobel, Shirley LaBella, Fred Christensen, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Marty Seabolt, Justin Cobb, Nick Ryan, Hayden Ferrigno, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julianne Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lout, Tim Burrow, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, Ryan, and Jason Crawford. That's going to be it for this episode of the NAIF Ball, a podcast. We have two conferences to go. The Sooner and the Sun. That'll take us into mid-August, where we've got on the books a chat with the home office before we start into our, good grief, what full season will this be? 19, 20, 21, 22, fifth full season of NAIF Ball. It does not seem like it's been five seasons, but here we are. Looking forward to it. It's right around the corner, less than a month. We have crested the hill. We are on the downhill slope. This is when you are listening to this on August 1st, you will have 0 months of no football left in the year.
We're so close. I'm itching. I'm literally itching to get there. I'm so excited.
It's going to be a great season. Now I've been talking with Matt and John about it, and it just feels like the gap between Team 98 and Team 1 is just getting closer and closer. Not because number 1 is slipping, but because the overall parity of this league is getting better. It's been fun to watch. I think this is going to be one of the best years of NAI football that we've seen yet, but we've got a couple more previews to go. Stick with us here on the NAIF Ball podcast, and we'll see you next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIF Ball podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.